Good morning, everyone. It is great to come back to Melbourne and also to have such good weather. Beautiful day today. And thank you for your prayer. Well, I know when we traveled the last few weeks in America, particularly, from LA to Florida. And thank you for your prayer, especially for God's journey mercies. This morning, I want to share with you a faith that surprises Jesus and the centurion. Only two times in the gospel stories do we find that Jesus was surprised, amazed, or even astonished. Interestingly, both times had to do with faith. The first time was found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 6. When Jesus returned to his hometown, Nazareth, following Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist, his cousin, we read in verse 5, he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Verse 6 of Mark chapter 6. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Why is that so? I think Jesus was telling and teaching his disciples and followers that sometimes a person raised in his own community doesn't get the recognition of what he can do for God. Jesus was surprised at his hometown, unbelief. Although Jesus would have liked to do more, performing miracles and heal sickness, he was prevented from doing more because of their lack of faith in Nazareth. But the second time, we are told that Jesus was surprised is in the scripture text that we have just read this morning by Daniel from Matthew chapter 8 verses 5 to 13. It is concerning the centurion from Capernaum, whose approach to Jesus caused Jesus to say something very profound. Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. So this morning, I like to pick three points concerning the faith of the centurion. First, the centurion and his faith. as we all know, the centurion were the backbone of the Roman army. A Roman legion was composed of 6,000 men or soldiers. So a legion in the Roman army consists of 6,000 men. And these were divided into groups of 100, which we call centuries. Just like in the cricket, when a batsman gets to 100, he scores a century. And the captain over those 100 men was called a centurion. So a centurion is an army or a captain who looks after 100 soldiers in the Roman army. It is noteworthy to observe that every centurion mentioned in the New Testament is mentioned with respect and honor. They were the cream of the crop of professional soldiers. This centurion, according to a passage which is parallel to Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13, is recorded in Luke chapter 7. Here in Luke chapter 7, it has mentioned that the centurion had won favor with the Jews and had helped to build the Jewish synagogue. This means that although he belonged to the conquerors, as we all know, the Roman Empire conquered Palestine, Israel, they were the foreigners. But here, please note that the centurion treated the Jews with respect and was sensitive to their religious beliefs and scruples. Being a conqueror, sometimes it's hard to treat the conquered nation with great respect, particularly concerning their religious belief. But the thing that sets the centurion apart is his attitude towards his servant. In Jesus' days, they were slaves, in fact. He is compassionate and concerned about his servant. or his slaves. This was unusual. Because we all know that during the Roman days, the Roman law treated the slave and their servants with no respect because they have forfeited their human rights. A master can go to the village square and purchase a man, a woman, a child, bought it for a price. And that child, that man, or the woman became the servant or the slaves of that master. But note that this centurion was concerned for his servant. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 6, who tells us that he lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. You see, the servant was terribly sick, lying at home, in the centurion's home, paralyzed, and in terrible suffering. Matthew tells us that this centurion came to Jesus asking for help. Why did he come to Jesus? He no doubt had heard that Jesus had the power to heal people, those who were sick. The centurion's faith, however, seems to have been based on more than hearsay. I think it is likely that he had observed previously when controlling the crowd together with his men. At the edge of the crowd, or perhaps he had watched Jesus heal the sick. He had saw Jesus perform healing the sick. And he may have heard Jesus teaching his followers and disciples amongst the crowd. At any rate, he came to Jesus asking for help for his servant. The response of Jesus was immediate. Verse 7 of Matthew chapter 8, I will go and heal him. Many modern scholars think this statement should be translated as a question. Shall I go and heal him? Dearly beloved, faith to be effective must be specific. When we prayed to the Lord, we must be specific. For example, blind Bartimaeus called out to Jesus while Jesus was traveling through the city gate, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Although Jesus could see Bartimaeus was blind, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Rabbi, I want to see." Mark chapter 10, verse 51. "Rabbi, I want to see." Similarly, to the man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus asked, "Do you want to get well?" John chapter 5, verse 6. So it would not be out of character for Jesus to ask this man, "What are you wanting from me? Shall I go and heal him?" The centurion's response was quick. "No, that's not necessary. I do not deserve to have you come under my roof." Verse 8. That response was probably an indication of the centurion's sensitivity to the Jewish traditional law that forbade a Jew from entering a non-Jewish house. Just think for a moment, dear brothers and sisters. You see, for a Jew to enter into a non-Jewish home, it would have broken the Jewish traditional law. You see, when a non-Jew, or in this case, Jesus entering a non-Jewish home, he would become unclean. And the centurion asked Jesus, "Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And to that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." Verses 8 and 9 of Matthew 8. This centurion understood authority. He had authority over his soldiers, and he recognized Jesus' authority in the spiritual realm. He knew his authority was derived from something above and greater than himself. And he assumed this was also true of Jesus. You see, he knew that Jesus' authority came from above, from God himself. The centurion had authority because he was under authority, submissive and committed to carry out the orders of Caesar. He recognized that Jesus was in touch with God, and that he had authority over sickness and disease. So, the response of the centurion's faith surprised and astonished Jesus, who turned and said to those around him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." Isn't that marvelous, dear brothers and sisters? Gentile, and yet has such great faith in God, in Jesus. Secondly, what is so amazing about the centurion's faith? Let's unpack it for a few moments. I want to make four observations. One, the centurion was a Gentile, as I said earlier. He was not a Jew. One might expect that the Jews, with their whole history of God working mighty deeds through the prophets, would have faith in God. Yet the Jews, as we read from the Old Testament, time and time and time again, they were marked by skepticism and unbelief. The centurion knew only that Jesus had a reputation as a healer, and he probably assumed that Jesus' authority came from God. His power, his authority came from God. Two, the centurion recognized Jesus' authority. Some of the Jews also recognized Jesus' power to heal and attribute not to Jesus, not to God, but to Beelzebub. Who is Beelzebub? The prince of demons. Matthew chapter 12, verse 24. This centurion, however, simply believed that because Jesus was under authority, he could heal his servant. Three, the centurion expected Jesus to heed his request. He was certain of Jesus' compassion and power. So he expected Jesus to act on behalf of his servant. Faith is more than believing. It must also have an aspect of expectation if it is to be vital. Fourth, the centurion believed that Jesus could heal at a distance. He believed that he had authority to command and heal the sickness at a distance. He believed all he needed Jesus is pronounce it from where he communicated with the centurion. He don't have to go to his house. And that commands great faith in the centurion, because he believed that Jesus had authority to do it from a distance. Say, and his servant will be healed. So, dearly beloved, the third point, which is the final observation of the passage this morning that we have read. This passage emphasizes that faith is the currency of the kingdom of heaven. In verse 11 and verse 12, Jesus makes the point that Gentiles will come from the east and the west and sit at a feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, while the natural subjects of the kingdom, which was the chosen people of God, Jesus' own Jewish people, they will be cast out because of their unbelief, because of their skepticism. And how true it is today. We, the Gentiles, comes from the east, comes from the west, to enter into the kingdom of God. We receive faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. So unless we learn to have faith in our Christian walk, may the Lord grant each one of us this day forward to increase our faith as we continue to walk with Jesus each day of our life. So may the Lord teach us this morning the important lesson of faith, like the centurion. May He teach us, and that we will continue to learn to increase our faith, so that we would follow and focus our eyes to the cross of Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the teaching of this morning, a faith that surprises, that we can learn from the faith of that centurion who came to Jesus to ask Jesus for help to heal his servant who is very sick, paralyzed, and yet he has such great strong faith, and he understood authority. All he wants Jesus is to heal his servant, to speak from a distance without even going to his own home, thereby complicated the traditional Jewish law of Jesus being a Jew entering into a non-Jewish home. Thereby he became unclean. Father, we know that at times our faith is fallen short of the glory of God. But through this wonderful miracle that Jesus performed, we can learn to increase our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord. Continue to increase our faith and continue to walk in the ways of the Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray. Amen.